Hello, everyone. This is Janice Alpert. Thank you for listening to On Purpose, where we interview very interesting people, where they share how they found themselves and how they got on their purpose, and hopefully help you get on yours. If you're on it, stay on it. And today is no exception. We have Rhonda Farah. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Janice. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I always appreciate anytime anyone puts in some time and to share their story. We're so appreciative. So most of my listeners know I don't really know that too much about any of my guests. So why don't you tell me a little bit about let's start at the beginning. Where'd you grow up and how many kids in your family? And a little bit about your...
I love that beginning. I grew up on the East Coast. Some people know I'm from Connecticut originally.
Okay. Never been. That's one state I have not been to.
Really? Okay.
Well, here it's beautiful.
Beautiful state. I've spent some time in California, and I'm now on a work project in Colorado Springs. On my way to the East Coast.
I love Colorado anything. And I've been to Colorado Springs, too. So beautiful. Love those mountains. All right. But your childhood was in Connecticut?
In Connecticut. I'm an East Coast gal. I'm the oldest of... I'm the oldest of three brothers and one sister.
Oh, wow.
And had a stay-at-home mom and a dad who preferred mom stay at home.
Okay. Hey, I'm not that different in age, I can see. So that's how it was in my family, too. Yep.
So I grew up in an extended family, and some people will remember that, through third grade. So it was my parents, my siblings, grandparents.
Yep.
A couple of aunts, a couple of great aunts. You get the picture.
I do, because I had a similar, they didn't live in my house, but we all lived within about a mile of each other. So we were always on Sundays at one of the aunts, uncles. I had cousins. I think I have 11 first cousins, maybe more than that, 13 first cousins, on my dad's side in particular. And then I have some other on my mom's side. But yeah, so that was very typical of my growing up as well. So I understand. And that's kind of nice.
It was. It was great. And, you had many people to love on you and many people to discipline you. And so we got it all.
I get it. And many people to irritate you, too. There's always, you know, I could tell you that I had a cousin that was a challenging cousin. Yeah, unfortunately, she passed away. But not that we didn't love her, but there were some challenges. You know, there's always at least one. So maybe she thought I was challenging. I don't know. Anyway, so that was your growing up and you went to grammar school and high school there.
Went to grammar school, high school. The way this ended up was I was growing up in this, the oldest, of course.
Right.
Is, you know, set the example, et cetera.
Yep.
And I wanted to be a nurturer. Okay. And I was nurtured. I had a very loving, both parents, very loving. Everybody was loving and not at times. But that set the pace for me to be on this journey of being in service to others.
So even at a young age, you could feel like that's like a natural role and something you just did naturally, like a caretaker and to be of service.
Yes. And I was recently asked, well, did you come to do what you do? You're a lifestyle empowerment, an alchemist, a coach.
Mm-hmm. What's an alchemist?
You know, I know what a speaker and a teacher and all that is. I came to do what I was going to do. I'm going to give you the short version because you might remember this too. When I was a kid, I watched the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, he loved it.
Psychologist. Okay.
Yes, he was.
And who knew what a psychologist was? Okay. But I said, yep, I want to be, I want to do that. I want to do that. And
I know. At a young age,
young age, I knew. And I went on to get my Master of Arts in Educational Psychology, did a lot of teaching, University of Connecticut. And membership in the International Coaching Federation, because I made that switch from psychotherapist to coach.
Okay.
Made the switch for reasons that were the personal reasons of mine, that largely I was becoming very debilitated and taking on everybody else's.
That's one of the things, speaking as a therapist for 43 years, that you have to really be careful to not... to be able to emotionally and psychologically set your own boundary, which is not always easy to do. I mean, certainly there are times where I've had a really heavy duty session and I'm thinking about it later and I'm thinking, why are you thinking? Well, you can't help it. If you're a human being and you're caring, you're going to think about your clients if they're having a really horrible time, or they just shared a horrible story that they had never shared with anybody in their entire life. So, yeah.
And I'm extremely intuitive. And without even knowing how intuitive I was, I said, aha, I think that the client's well-being should be their responsibility. Mm-hmm. And not, I mean, there are people also that I'm sure you've had people that they want immediate results. We are in an immediate gratification society.
Where?
What do you mean? I had three sessions with you. And I go, okay, well, how long did it take you to get the situation with your mother? Okay.
Right. Well, many, many times I've said, you know, I wish I could fix this. I wish I could fix all of mine, everything in mine. But, you know, it takes work. And that's not how therapy or counseling or whatever it works. And, you know, here are the things that you can do and I can help you do. But you're going to have some investment here if you want to feel better and just have more inner peace and calm and less anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, we are not a magic pill here. No, doesn't work that way.
Harry Potter's wand is put away somewhere.
Right, right.
I put it away. Okay. So it's interesting that we're meeting now and talking about the, you know, getting on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Because
I have recently, I'm still in the process of changing my brand to fix your reflection first, to look in your mirror. Mm-hmm. And do you like what you see? Do you love what you see? What do you see? Mm-hmm. This is the time. It's so it's imperative right now with the way the world is, with what's happening in our personal, professional, our business lives globally. To look in the mirror and say, okay, this is who I'm responsible for. Do I like what I see? Right.
And I've said, exactly. And many times, and I've said this here, because again, not that this is like a political show by any means, but the truth of the matter is, unless you're blind, you know, what's going on in our country and in the world is very sad and very divisive and very horrible. And I always say, hey, don't think you can't do anything. Be you. Be the best you can be. Come from a place of love and kindness, and you've already begun switching the energy. And if each of us could begin doing that and come from a place of love, then you'd be surprised of the power that exudes. So, yeah. So I'm with you.
So that, I mean, that's crucial that I mention that right now.
Okay.
Because it's really... And I do it every morning. I look in the mirror. I've been looking in the mirror and catching my reflection and loving it without even really knowing what I was doing. I got serious about a year ago.
Okay.
And said, I need to look in the mirror. I'm not actualizing my full potential.
So what brought this? I understand we are where we are now, but let's go back about 50, over this last 50 years. Oh, yeah. And. Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. How did you get to where you are now? Because you said you went to college and then you got a master's in education, psychology or whatever. And you did some teaching, some therapy. But what was what's these last years? What's transpired here?
There was a whole. There was stuff that happened to me. I believe as an alchemist, it's the good stuff and the not so good stuff.
Why don't you define alchemist for our listeners?
Okay, an alchemist, alchemy is the precursor to chemistry. I have in no way a left brain or a chemistry or a physiology or any of that type of person. But alchemy means changing, transforming from one substance to another.
Okay, so you're going to laugh. This, I have to just say this.
Yes.
I have one of my favorite boutiques that's in my neighborhood, and the name of it is Alchemy and Cloth. And I happened to go there today. I didn't buy anything, but just was on my route to some things I was doing before I was doing this. So I think it's hysterical and just how the universe works that you're talking about alchemy and alchemists. And I was just there today. Nothing to do, you know, just had to do with fashion. Again, I didn't buy anything, but they have very artsy fartsy unusual things. So if you want to change your look, that would be a place to go.
Right.
So I think that's funny.
And I bet you can look in the mirror to see if you want to change your look while you're in it.
What I'm wearing actually right now, I bought there not this year, but whatever. So yeah, so I love their stuff, and I try to buy one or two things there each season. So yeah, I did want to change my look, and I have a little bit. Okay, so in your life, backing up,
I know I'm chopping at the bit of the color. Okay.
Go ahead, yeah, go ahead.
So there was a series of things not so good things. Where I learned that, no, life is not happening to me. It's happening for me. Yeah. Do I really believe that? Well, I better, because there's some serious things going on. They included prison.
Whoa. Really?
Prison in a women's federal prison camp.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't bars or anything, but it was 6 years.
Are you kidding? First of all, thank you so much for being open and sharing that. Can I ask how that happened? Like what you did?
Yeah, nonviolent, non-drug related.
Okay.
What I did, this was my crime, which was later expunged after 6 years. But I was in an arena where I wasn't helping people the way I should help them.
Okay.
Before prison.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. I was not meant to be in a world of what we call the purchase and sale of medium term banknotes. I was meant to be in service to others.
Okay.
So I call it God. We all call it one thing, spirit, universe, whatever. God was trying to get my attention for a few years. Finally, you know, first the little pebbles come in.
Well, if you don't listen, again, whether it's God or the universe or just something bigger that you know is happening, which, you know, my listeners know I believe in all that. If you don't listen the first time, believe me, you will get tapped and tapped and then ultimately shoved. If you don't get it, you'll just have other reminders that you're on the wrong path. So
absolutely.
It sounds like that's what happened to you.
Then we had the 2x4 and finally a brick was introduced and I was put in a major timeout in my life.
Wow.
Major.
No, that is major, because here you never are, this educated, smart woman.
Never had anything. And it was like, what the heck? What's going on? And the interesting part, I was thinking, I'm a runner, not as quickly as I used to run.
Uh-huh.
I think for 48 years, but not from the law. I thought this morning, I said, wow. This goes back even further, because at that time, my first attorney, who was, you know, history, my second attorney as well, happened to be Effley Bailey, and he's passed away.
Oh, yeah. My.
This is like, whoa, you talk about coming out of the closet.
Do you have a book? I mean, this sounds like a phenomenal book.
There's a word.
Process? It's in process? Okay.
So here's what happens. When I'm thinking of fix my reflection first, and I'm going along however many years later, 20 years, and I'm saying, God, that was the thing I said to whatever his name was. They wanted me to plead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I said, no, because I have to get up every morning and look myself in the mirror.
Yep.
And there was no intent to what I did and otherwise and blah, blah, blah. But I thought about that this morning. So way back when I was trying to, I knew I needed to introduce the mirror. I needed to go deep within, which is where our authentic power is. I'm sure you know.
Yeah, it's always deep within, of course.
Deep within. So, and that's why I'm here. I'm not the exception. I'm the example for others that need to go deep within. So we got through that, was put in I was teaching wellness.
Wait, so you get out, so you do your 6 years and you try to.
No. In the prison.
Oh, in the prison. Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say. Okay. So in the prison, you were doing wellness classes.
Helping and women who had drug-related charges get a year off their sentence because other people were teaching them too. Not inmates, but I was. And I was teaching. They asked me if I would teach a class. And I said, sure, I'll teach a class. I like to teach.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that you did. So, yeah, amazing.
Right. So I was in the right place. That was my purpose, is why when I saw the name of your show, I said, yeah, because that's what I believe. I believe our purpose is to do the very best we can do wherever we are.
I agree. And as I've said many times on this podcast, our purpose may change or may fluctuate depending on where we are or our age or whatever. And that's okay, that we have to be able to be open to pivot if we need to. And that's, it sounds like exactly what you said. Well, I'm in a new location, but I'm still a teacher. I'm still a helper. I still want to be of service. So you did it.
I did it.
Unusual environment.
Very unusual. And then one day I had the brain storm to say, hey, you think I could get a year off my sentence because I'm teaching? You know, I'm not.
It was a very good brainstorm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They said, oh, no, we need you, Farah. They call you by your last name. And all I said was, okay.
You went with it.
Yeah, I went with it. I'm still not even sure why. But previous to them requiring me, well, they didn't require, but they suggested.
Strongly suggested, yeah.
I know, I want you to teach this stuff. So, I mean, I didn't get paid or anything. And I said, okay. But right before that, I remember, I call them my aha moments. Mm-hmm. There's one, my breath, that's God saying, mm-hmm. go ahead, say it. Mm-hmm. Be. And at that moment, I, for one reason or another, literally, stopped hitting the phone against the wall in the prison. And I just said, because previous to that, I was saying, get me out of here. I don't belong
right,
here.
Right. I can understand why. You're, as I said, an educated, yeah, intelligent woman. What's going on here? Why am I in this? I don't belong in prison. Yeah, that's scary. Or to me, it would be.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, this thing came over me and, oh, there's the breath again. I stopped hitting the phone. I hung up the phone, whoever I was talking to, and you're allowed 15 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hung up the phone, and I just went, oh, well.
Here I am.
Like, oh, a different direction. Boom, more reading, more writing, teaching these classes, helping women that, you know, had, you'll love this, that, I mean, the camp that I was in, it was a haven for like a death camp for to have a diabetes, you know, right, with the food and everything else. And so I was making my little innovations with people there. So that was my purpose.
And it sounds like once you stopped telling people, get me out, and you just let go, you felt, besides doing your purpose of helping others, you sounds like you felt more of an inner calm inside.
Oh, I did. It became I had my routine, and incidentally, so I did all that. But I was also part of a work cadre, five women that went to, of all places, the Presidio in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
5 days a week to do gardening, to do this, to do that.
Well, that's lovely.
But life. I'm a runner. I had a track. I had, weight.
Hey, you had room and board. You got to garden. You got to teach.
There was the priest there at 1.6. Three meals, three hots and a cot. That's what he used to say.
Okay. Suppose, hey, if we try, we can take any situation, which is part of what I think we should do in life, and twist it to say, well, let's see what's positive about this. If you've ever read Viktor Frankl's book, yes, on the man's search for meaning, and he was in Auschwitz, and how even in that horrific situation, he would try to find meaning every day, and he did, and that's probably part of why he survived. And then he became a whole therapist on finding the meaning of life in every situation. Yeah,
yeah. And this is, you know, it wasn't as dire as that.
I know that. Yeah, but still,
but I was very blessed. And you said the magic word, gift, mm-hmm, because that's what an alchemist does, mm-hmm, and that's what I can teach people to do if they choose.
Uh-huh. Oh, I get it. So sounds like you did amazing stuff in using the 6 years you were in prison. So now I'm curious, when you got out, like, where did you live? And then what? How did you?
Okay, now here we go. Now, this is all right. So that, and I always say incidents that happen to us prepare us for the next incidents.
Right.
On the eve of being released, I knew I had a lump on my breast.
Oh, right. My God.
Wait, 11 months. But I saw what was happening, which I'm not even going to get into with the medical and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I waited till I could get home. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, in Breast Cancer Awareness Month in 2005, I was diagnosed.
Oh,
with
my goodness.
Breast cancer. And I continued to say, well, people, how was it? How was the bio? I said, well, it's not the best news, but it's not the worst news.
Okay.
Okay. And then for, 3 weeks or so, oh, no, I don't want to go into, again, a blessing. I was introduced to the best, they called him the best breast guy, Okay, I was in Monterey, California.
Oh, you were still in California. Okay.
Still in California, came home, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know there's a purpose in all this. And this is, some of this is just coming back to me right now. And I delayed for 3 weeks. My family thought I was nuts for didn't start chemo. I was doing medical Qigong, went to the oncologist, and she said, I don't know what you're doing, but you're shrinking your tumor.
Oh my, wow, really?
At that point, my daughter's head spun around on her neck and said, you're buying this. You're buying this shit too. But I know Western medicine has the best diagnostic tools around, okay? So I said, okay, I need to face that fear. That's a fear. I don't want to go under the knife. What's everyone talking about? I'm an athlete. How could this be happening to me?
Oh, God, yes. Horrible.
So that started chemo, and actually did not have the side effects some people have because of my mindset, my heart set. And my mindset, and I just knew that from nearly stage 3 cancer, I was still going to make it.
Well, and here you are. So whatever you did, but I always say for any health issue, you know, why not combine both Eastern and Western? It doesn't have to be one or the other. And, you know, I one of the things I love, which I've shared with listeners before, my gastro doctor, in his practice, he has an acupuncturist, but he has a hypnotherapist. He's got a regular therapist. He has two kinds of nutritionists. So he believes it's not just, you know, the mind and the gut, and that's true in any illness. You know, it's you have to kind of work with both. So,
yes.
You know, you're not going to tell someone, or I wouldn't, I don't know, who's diabetic, don't take your insulin. But by the way, while you're taking your insulin, watch your sugars. Do some prayer and meditation, have some inner peace, and do some other things too. It all will make it better for you in terms of coping with whatever illness that you have.
Exactly. So I went through that Western medicine stuff, and I was more scared than anything.
I bet. That's scary stuff. That's a life-threatening illness, so that's scary, sure.
Right, and another aha moment. I'm sitting there to get the margins cleaned out or laying there in the gurney. And I said, the nurse said, who are you talking to? And I go, or did you call me? And I said, no, I was just having a little conversation with God. And she goes, oh, look at your hair's growing back already. I had been to the queue. And she pulled back her cap, her skull cap. And she said, maybe it'll be curly like mine. That's a God thing. Well, there's the God bumps right there. That woman was there to show me that she is now helping others.
Exactly.
And that was the biggest thing, whether it was the prison, whether it was the cancer. I was helping others to heal. I did the classes, the groups, and everything for women with breast cancer, and I just loved it. And I was like, that helped me heal.
And while you're doing all this, did you have that feeling inside, like, I know that I'm doing what I should be doing? Like, was there an inner feeling that you could sense?
Kind of. Okay.
Kind of.
Because it was the subconscious, Rhonda.
Okay.
Okay. But she was coming to consciousness.
Okay.
It was coming. Okay. Then I had a couple of marriages that ended in divorce. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
it happens.
Right.
And I'm divorced. I'm happily married now, but my ex-husband and I are very good. So that's all good. Yeah. Go ahead.
It all happens for us, not to us. So I found the gift and the blessings and all of that. I rounded that corner, baby. And it was like, fix your reflection first, Rhonda. Start. It's never too late to start. After all, Moses was in his 70s before he, you know, did anything, you know, really noteworthy. And he didn't even think he could do it.
Hey, I always say it's never, I started this, you know, when I turned 70. So, you know what? It's never too late to start something new, especially if your intention is to be helpful and, like you said, of service. And you also have that feeling inside, like, I think this is like what I should be doing. It feels right. It just feels right.
And I had to go through my growth until it spurted to say, fix my reflection first. Rhonda, fix your reflection first. How are you going to help people fix their reflection first?
So, and let's be clear, you're not talking about putting on some extra makeup.
No, not at all.
I know that. I just want to make, sometimes we have people that are very concrete, literal, listeners or thinkers, and they're going, well, what is she going to be hawking some great new makeups? But that's not what Rhonda's talking about. The reflection is really the inner reflection, which I'm sure everybody knows, but I felt like I had to say that. So go.
Yeah. So, I'm here to say, even with all the crap, I won't say the other word, but that too. Mm-hmm. Even with all of that happening, what if I told you that there is a way to fix your reflection first, because it's in there. You're in there. You're the real person is in there under all that. I just can't peel it away. And look at how that's your authentic power from within.
Yeah.
That's the God of my understanding is right here.
Mm-hmm. It's in our heart and in our soul. Yeah.
In our soul. I'm, as a media gratification as the next person, but it doesn't work. I know to fix my reflection first, I must do the work. And I am. Even with the crap that I have been through.
And you've been through plenty, young lady.
I've been through joy in all of that. In prison, and in breast cancer, and in the marriages, there was not one day that I did not laugh or cry.
Okay. And isn't that part of being in the human condition? We have a variety of emotions that we're supposed to feel them so we can understand ourselves and heal and evolve and grow.
Laughter and tears, that's growth. If you're not laughing, crying. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that has led me to this whole, it was only 2 years I came out of the closet about the prison and did two big radio spots with close-up television radio. And again, I was led there. These people are in New York. It's the East Coast. I was led to the studio after that, which is in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to interview. And I go, okay. Okay. And
they did not know about this, about the prison.
They did.
Okay.
They did three interviews with me that were radio.
Okay.
And I said, I can interject that, but I would really like to be this television spot. I would like to talk about the authentic power from within, because it's not all about me, because there's people out there that are watching and listening, mm-hmm. that have their own sorrows, their own adversity.
Everybody does. We all have some kind of suffering in our life or challenges. It's just part of life. And that's because we're here to learn. We're in school. We're in Earth school. That's what I always say.
Right. We're in Earth school. And so that's how I came to do what I do. And I am very much an alchemist. I believe in my authentic power from within, and we all have it. I believe that we are all a guru in our mm-hmm. own right. I believe that we have the power within us. We are the creator, the artist, the developer of our life. Darn it, take responsibility mm-hmm. for that and see where you can go with that.
And I love that. So to me, what I love of all the, I've interviewed so many people, but I love the theme of what you're saying is that it's not that your life is by any means, because you have quite a story, been perfect or smooth or easy, not that anybody's is, but that the result through all of this, through your whole journey is when you go inward and you really look at who you are on the inside and you know that there's goodness there, and in my opinion, purpose. And each of us may have a different one, and it's not a right or a wrong. It's just making sure that we're trying to be in touch with that. Then our life just goes better. Not perfect. No one's saying that, just because, okay, I found my purpose, now everything is hunky dory 100% of the time, but it'll be a lot more hunky dory. And so, that does take a certain amount of work. And, I've shared with listeners, I have my own process as well. I meditate pretty much every day. I take some kind of reflection. I try to read something of meaning, whether it be online, or I always have a book by my side, by my bedside, of some kind of spiritual something. And even if I read two pages, that to me is enough. I'm not going to sit and read for 3 hours. Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with that. I just don't have that. I'm just not going to do that. But it's every day. That's to me the key. Every day, if you're going to be on the self reflection, authenticity, that's your goal. And who am I and what's my purpose and how can I serve? Then every day you have to tap inside. And to me, it's not an option. It just happens all the time. Like And to me, there's always messages. Like, I went to Acclimate Cloth today. She'll love that I'm giving her store like a little shout out. But how would I know that you were going to use that word today? And so it's just a reminder that, like you said, change my look. That's, you know, clothes and maybe a little more superficial, but it doesn't matter. It's still, that's, there's a theme here.
As a therapist too, even the clothing, even a look, doing self-care, fix your reflection first. Somebody says to me, how do you do that? Well, you can be a little more gentle with yourself.
How about passion?
Air, you know, how about taking a bubble bath? How about taking a walk?
Exactly.
How about taking a nap? Well, I don't nap. I know the value. For some, take a nap, take a 20-minute power nap. Treat yourself. I also want to mention, I said it before, things in life, and boy, did this hit home after the second divorce.
Yeah.
Both betrayals.
Mm-hmm.
Prison was okay, you know. The cancer part, that was, you know, more scary.
Not so great. Yes. Yeah. I like it. Prison's kind of okay. Cancer was a little scarier. Yeah, the betrayals weren't fabulous, but go ahead.
Worst. The betrayals.
The betrayals were worse. Okay.
Betrayals were worse. But through that all, I learned that the biggest one is because, you know, I have people that come to me talk about relationships.
Right, of course.
And I go, well, here's what I'd like you to do, because this is what I do. I now look in my mirror, or someone will say, geez, you've been over there for over 2 years in Colorado Springs. Have you met anyone? And I say, I have, as a matter of fact. I have.
I met Rhonda.
She'll be. Yes. Well, she's articulate. She's funny. She's intelligent. She's attractive. She's loves to run and cook and be outside. And
she's had an unbelievably rich life with a variety of unbelievable experiences. I'm just throwing that in there.
Her name is Rhonda Farah.
Yeah.
Because honest to God, if one can, and I learned this for myself,
mm-hmm.
if one cannot look in their mirror and see the love of their life, they will never attract the love of their life.
Amen. Amen. Rhonda, your story is amazing. So I love that so it sounds like right now, as far as your career, you're helping other people find themselves and look in the mirror and find their authentic self. And so, which is amazing. So if people wanted to reach out to you, is there a website or what's like?
There is a couple things happening. My website is helpmerhondanow.com.
I love it.
And that's been like that for 15 years. And my email, I would welcome questions and comments. Rhonda, Rhonda, at helpmerhondanow.com.
Love it.
In a month or so, I'm starting a brand new show on the Transformation Network, Dr. Pappas. And of course, my show's name will be Fix Your Reflection Now.
Love it. Okay, great. All right, wonderful. So before we wind down here, I usually always ask the guest, if you were going to say, someone's listening to this and going, well, I like what she has to say, but I don't know, and how would I really, you know, sounds like she's exceptional, and that's how come she found her purpose, and, you know, and my belief is we are all exceptional. We can find it. Any words, like, just in a short sentence or two, like what you might want to share with a listener if they're struggling here? Yeah.
Yes, I would like to share that whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are going through in your life, whatever challenge, struggle, adversity you are facing, you are not alone. Reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't reach out to me, reach out to someone.
Yep.
Reach out to someone. And remember that you are the developer of your life. And being that developer, I would like you, I invite you to treat life as if it were ice cream. And enjoy it before it melts.
Love it. Oh, Rhonda, you're very fascinating. Thank you so much for being so open with your story and your life and what you've learned. And you're amazing, like unbelievable. So I always finish every episode with a little quote. So here's what I had picked out today. If you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion, for your passion will lead you right into your purpose. By Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I feel like that kind of is what you did, is like you figured out, you know, if you can do what you're passionate about, your purpose will, they coincide. So wonderful. Rhonda, thank you so, so much. Rhonda Farah, for anyone who wants to contact her, I'm sure even if you just Google her name, you'll find her. I appreciate you sharing your story, which is quite a story, and that you are doing such a great job with life. And I'm glad you survived everything. And beyond that, you've blossomed. So it's great. So thank you so, so much.
My pleasure, Jen.
Appreciate it. Nice. So nice meeting you.
Likewise.
Take good care. Okay. On that note, this is Janice Albert. Thank you so much for listening to On Purpose, hoping that if you're on your purpose, that you're staying on it. And if you haven't and you're looking for it, that you find it soon. Till next time. Bye-bye.